Hey everybody, this is your host Aaron Torres. I just wanted to pop in real quick before the episode and apologize in advance for the background noise for this episode. I know I apologize it probably during. It was very last minute and very willy-nilly basically thrown together. Also, it's, I think, the first episode that doesn't have the same guest going into it that it finishes with. So, I really struggled with trying to decide whether or not I was going to put this out, but this was such a big movie and kind of a special occasion for me that I decided to just go ahead and let it roll. That being said, enjoy the episode. Cheers.
My calculations are correct. When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Episode of a Week Late Podcast. My name is Darren, aka Analysis 489, and this is episode 65, the world renowned A Week Late Podcast, I should add. Doing this a little bit different today. I have to apologize ahead of time. It's kind of old school in that we are recording in an MRS, and for any of the new listeners that don't know what that is, it's a mobile recording studio, aka a car. And the background noise you hear is coming from not only the new microphone, because it's super sensitive, but just we're driving in a car, so there's that. This is a podcast in which I normally review movies that aren't in the theater anymore, but this one's going to stay true to the name in that when you guys hear this episode, this movie would have been out a week already. Premise of the podcast is to review movies without spoiling them for you. But in the second portion, as you'll see, there will be a spoiler countdown. So in the first portion, we'll be talking about the movie before we watch it. And then after the intermission, we'll come back and record the second portion where we pretty much spoil the shit out of the movie for you. But before that, there is a spoiler countdown. So anybody that isn't too keen on this recording is going to be terrible. Isn't too keen on spoilers, just pause it, go watch it, and then come back and listen. Today, I have, well, these levels are, I don't think this is going to come out real well. The levels are spiking and I'm not even doing anything. Today we have a returning guest. My brother is back with us.
Cheers, everybody.
Welcome back, sir.
Thank you.
And also, a little reason why this podcast is kind of special is because my friend Dan is here visiting for my birthday from the Marshall Islands, and this is his first time being on the podcast. Say hello, Dan.
Hello.
Today we are watching Ender's Game. Ender's Game, I don't know much about it. I do know that it's based off of a book by... I thought I was going to remember his name, but I don't. In the second portion, if I remember to remember it, then I'll tell you what it is. But it is obviously based off of a book. I actually downloaded the book on my Kindle app, but I only got through the introduction. So all I know about this movie is that it's basically the author's take on how people in the future might prepare for war in space. That's all I know about the premise. Do you guys know anything else about this movie that's without giving away the entire movie? Because neither of us have seen it.
Right.
We are going to go experience it in IMAX 3D, not 3D, just IMAX. I don't think this movie is available in IMAX 3D. It might be available regular screen 3D, but we're going to go catch it in IMAX at the same theater we went to go see Star Trek, the second Star Trek.
And Man of Steel.
And Man of Steel, correct. They have an amazing IMAX there. Their 3D is incredible. I give AMC Veterans 24 an 11D as far as performance in theaters go. It's very hard to pull off IMAX and 3D and have them both be good, and this theater does that. This movie stars Harrison Ford, Asia Butterfield, and is it Hailee Steinfeld?
Yes, Hailee Steinfeld.
Now, if I have to mention who Harrison Ford is, then shut this podcast off and never, ever come back and listen to it. His most recent thing being... what was that kidnapping movie? Was he in that?
Harrison Ford, the last movie I think he was in, if I'm not mistaken, is the latest in the series of his recurring Indiana Jones films, but I don't know how true that is.
No, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull was not his most recent movie, although I have recently watched that again, and it's kind of terrible.
Yeah.
So that's that. But if you don't know him from Indiana Jones and the Star Wars movies, pause this right now. Go watch those. Go listen to the first 64 episodes of this podcast, and then you'll be all caught up. He did Cowboys and Aliens as well, which was awesome.
Awesome movie.
Asia Butterfield, Mike, what? Do you have something to add about Harrison Ford?
Yes, I do. You know that Sly dropped Bruce Willis because he won $4 million for a 3-day shoot.
For what?
For the next Expendables.
Oh, really?
And Sly was like, bye.
Because I think me and David have done two episodes. We went and watched both Expendables movies.
Right.
And thoroughly enjoyed them. So you're saying that, Harrison Ford was supposed to be in the third one, now he's not?
He is going to be because he replaced Bruce Willis.
Ah. Oh, he replaced Bruce Willis.
Interesting. Yep.
Bruce Willis said no.
Bruce Willis won $4 million for 3 days.
Damn. And
he was offered $3 million. And he's like, no.
Wow.
Yeah.
What an ass.
You should have seen the tweets. It was awesome.
I actually should have seen the tweets. I don't know how you know that, and I don't know that. Are you on Twitter?
No.
Oh. All right, well, that's weird. Asia Butterfield is also in this movie, and at first I thought he was the dude from Chronicle, but upon further inspection on IMDb, he was the male lead role in Hugo, which we've also reviewed. That's early on. That's in the teens in the episodes, I believe. I got to watch that movie in 3D. Jason hated it, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's not really an exciting movie, but no. The acting is great, and it's really an homage to filmmaking in general.
And I like the visuals of the movie. Very cool.
Yeah. If you haven't gone and seen Hugo, unless you have a 3D TV, go check it out in 3D. But it's really good, especially if you're trying to teach kids the value of film these days with digital going on. It's perfect. There's no preservation anymore for, like, older films. But anyway, there's a whole commentary on that for the Hugo episode. Go check that out. And Hailee Steinfeld was in... probably most recently noted for the remake of True Grit. I never got to watch the remake. I haven't seen the original either. I wanted to do that recently, but... I didn't have the time to watch both, so I didn't watch either. Kind of screwed myself out of that deal. But I don't really know of any other movies that she's actually been in without having to look it up. I really should have done more research about this movie, for God's sakes, but...
It was a 2013 Romeo and Juliet?
Interesting.
What?
There was a 2013 Romeo and Juliet... apparently that slipped by me, because...
Romeo and Juliet, 2013.
She played Juliet. Wow. So, maybe that's not out yet.
Quite possibly.
Quite possibly that has not been released, but, Sons of Tucson. Wow. Okay. Now I know who she is. Sons of Tucson, was a short-lived TV series that was actually really, really funny, well-written, and very well-produced, but it wasn't received well. I believe it was on Fox.
Oh,
and remember
I see
that?
That?
Remember that show?
Yeah.
It was really, really funny, and she played the baby sister.
Okay.
And now she's all grown up and in TV action sci-fi movies. What did IMDb give Ender's Game? I'm just curious so far what it has as far as a rating. For the new listeners, I forgot to welcome you to the show. As you can see, these are shows that are pretty much thrown together, very impromptu, and I just want to welcome you guys. The rating system for this show goes from 0 to 11. And before, I used to say that 0 is a rating for a movie that does not deserve any mention whatsoever. You wouldn't tell your friends to watch it. You wouldn't tell your worst enemies to watch it. But recently, this weekend, for the birthday week that Dan and David have given me, Dan came up with a great 0 rating. Do you remember we were at Disney and you said, I asked you, what movie were we talking about? And I said, how good is it? Should I waste my time? And you said, that movie is so bad that it doesn't deserve to even take up the digital space that it's occupying. Just completely delete it from your Netflix. Do you remember what movie that was?
No, I don't.
We were talking about it, but that's what I'm going to use from now on. 0 is a movie so terrible that it doesn't even deserve to take up the digital space that it occupies. And 11D is the absolute best, most perfect movie you've ever seen. You want to shout it from the rooftops. Everybody should go see this. And in your opinion is fact. Once you rate a movie 11D, if anybody says that movie is less than that, they're wrong. Everybody's entitled to an opinion, but your opinion is wrong. So there's that. To the returning listeners, welcome back. I know I'm kind of rambling and scattered all over the place, but it's free. That's what you get. Go listen to something else that's put together well, because this is not that show. So, that being said, IMDb has given this movie a what so far?
7.2 out of 10.
7.2 out of 10. We don't normally let those ratings control our, I guess, bias. Like, I don't let it influence my rating. But this movie has only been out since, I believe, Thursday at midnight. Today is Tuesday the 5th. And so far the internet on IMDb has deemed this a 7.2 rating, which to me seems kind of low for all this hype that the movie has gotten. And not hype in terms of a lot of hype, because to be honest with you, I haven't seen a lot
not
of commercials
a commercial
for this,
on it, no. Right.
Which I really like. To me, people are going to go see this movie because A, they recognize the source material, and B, they're just looking to go for some sci-fi shit.
Yeah, that's for me.
That's what
I'm going for. I mean, I like Harrison Ford, even though he's come out with some crappy movies lately. He's still pretty much like my childhood hero, being Indiana Jones. And
Han Solo.
And Han Solo, on top
course,
of that.
Of course, And to me, though, it looks like an epic sci-fi end-of-world battle, you know, between, you know, these monstrous, you know...
Do we know for a fact that this movie has aliens?
Invading, yes.
It does, for a fact.
Monstrous invading, you know, that are here to take over or eradicate us.
Wow, okay.
So, to me, you encompass a few of the things that, you know, most guys like. Sci-fi, war... You know,
explosions, space,
explosion, you know, come on.
Aliens.
To me, it's all about that. And then you got, you know, Harrison Ford, who some of the commercials that I saw was kind of like a good guy, but there was a one-liner thrown in there that made it sound like maybe he wasn't. So there could be some, you know,
mystery involved.
Right. So
a twist ending, perhaps.
To me, it piqued my interest. I saw spaceships. I want to go see it.
Right.
Right.
Well, while you're on that subject, you kind of already mentioned it. What are you expecting, low, middle, or high from this movie?
I'm really
looking at
you are? Okay.
Yeah, I am too. I'm expecting
why
high.
Why is that?
Because
Harrison Ford, I mean,
the production value.
A whole lot of both.
So just, Harrison Ford for you, huh?
Special effects in the the special effects in the trailer that I did watch, even though it was very short, they looked amazing. And I recently saw a clip on Jimmy Fallon some kind of training room scene. It was very quick, and I tried not to watch it because, again, I didn't, just in case there were spoilers. But usually in those clips, they try to keep the spoilers out. But just from the scene that I saw, it was very, there was like a training room inside of a spaceship, and they were floating around zero gravity. That was enough for me. I wanted to see it. And I saw some spaceships exploding.
Yeah.
That's enough. I'm surprised that the internet's given it a 7.2 so far, but you're going middle of the road?
I'm kind of going in the middle of the road. Not because of the mediocrity of Mr. Ford's latest movies that I've seen.
I think he's going to have to work harder to support the new flesh, the actors that are sort of still rookies. I hope the movie doesn't hurt, but if Hugo and True Grit speak for these kid actors in any way, I think we should be safe.
Well, I think he's actually going to, you know, even though he might be headlining it, he's more of a supporting role in my opinion.
I think he's not, though, headlining it.
Well, I think
he's in it to bring the older crowd, you know?
I guess. In the commercials, nobody mentioned the kid's name. It was all Harrison Ford.
The kid's name is Ender. He's the star.
Well, I'm talking about the actual person's name.
Asia Butterfield.
Right. Nobody. I didn't even hear that name in the commercials.
Yeah.
All I heard was Harrison Ford.
Right.
So, you know,
I might be doing a switcheroo for the people that know Harrison Ford. I hope this isn't like, you know, what is that? Deep Blue Sea, where, what's his face? Samuel Jackson is billed first character and, spoiler, dies in the first 10 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping Harrison Ford doesn't die, like, in the opening credits, and then we're stuck watching these two kids fight it out in huge spaceships, which still might be pretty cool. But I always like to fly blind into movies like this, so my expectations are high. Anything you guys want to add? We're almost at the theater.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Ben Kingsley's in this movie, though.
Ben Kingsley, huh?
Yeah.
Is he really? I think you're right. Did we skip Ben Kingsley?
I didn't see his name on the IMDb,
but I think you might be right because there was a flash of him somewhere in a trailer that I saw.
Quite possible.
But we'll see. So there's that. I'm sorry it was all over the place, but that's what you get. This is the show, people. Week late, episode 65 for Ender's Game in IMAX. Go check it out. Pause it while my boy Aaron Bond from Orlando. As a matter of fact, I want to stop right here. Before I go any further, my birthday week consisted of us being in Orlando, and I got to separate from the Disney thing for a little bit and go check out Rich Voss with Aaron Bond, Katie Egger from Smile for Camera, and he's going to be really pissed that I forgot his name, but their new roommate. I'll try to remember during the break and give a shout out. But thank you guys for coming with me to the comedy show. It was awesome. We didn't do a podcast on it just because we were pressed for time. But if you want to hear a comedy review, we did one for Bill Burr. Go check that out. Weeklake.com. Listen to some intermission music by Aaron Bond. And we will be back for part two of a Weeklake podcast, episode 65. How many times am I going to say that? All right. Bye. Back for part two of episode 65 for Ender's Game. I gotta say, we're gonna get right into the ratings because there's a lot to talk about, and I want to get into trailers first, though. We saw two trailers.
Three trailers. One was Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah. Frankenstein was the first one. This is going to have Aaron Eckhart and a bunch of other people I really didn't recognize. I don't know if I've ever seen Aaron Eckhart in the lead before. He was kind of playing second fiddle to Ben Affleck in Paycheck, if people don't remember who Aaron Eckhart is. But,
Oh, he's a Battle of Angeles, too.
I have yet to watch that movie.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was good.
Nothing to see.
I watched a similar movie, Skyline, which is very meta because, audiovisual engineers of that movie got fired and went on to create Skyline using the same aliens from Battle Los Angeles, by the way, which they got sued for. Go listen to our Skyline episode, also available on aweeklate.com. I don't know about this movie. This movie is a twist on, obviously, it's not Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, nowhere near. It's basically making Frankenstein into a superhero. So, I don't know. Are you guys going to go watch this movie?
If I was in the States, I would.
Sure.
You would watch it in the theater?
I would.
I would probably, you know, I don't condone this, but illegally download it and watch it on my HDTV.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But it was a little bit, to me, like Constantine in a way.
It looked like, you know
a
what?
Lot of the demons.
You know what? I was thinking of a movie to compare, like a cross. Like, it's like they mashed up Constantine with League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Right, something weird like that. Very, very, I don't know. I wouldn't pay for it in the theater.
I would watch it on Netflix or Hulu Plus or whatever it is.
But it's not my genre of movie either. I normally don't watch. If that's a horror flick, maybe, I don't know.
I would say action sci-fi. Horror, maybe.
Okay.
You'll probably see some little, you know, some callbacks to classic monsters like, you know, Werewolf and Bride of Frankenstein, hopefully. I don't know. It looked very interesting, but it's, I tell you what, after watching Ender's Game, some other movies are just going to fall super flat now because that movie, to me, was incredible. The other trailer we saw was Thor, which comes out this coming Friday. By the time you hear this or download this episode, it would have been last Friday, I believe. Anyway, no-brainer, especially for the listeners of this show. I'm going to go see Thor. I was invited to go see Thor the opening day, which is very rare. I don't know if I'm going to be with a group of people that will do a show. So I don't know if I'm going to do a podcast on Thor, The Dark World, but definitely going to go see the movie, as I'm sure you guys are probably. That's a stupid question. What was the third one?
It was, what was it? I don't remember.
I think there may have been only two.
Sure,
which is not good news for the third trailer if there was one.
Yeah,
that means it's forgettable.
Yeah.
Do you remember, Dan?
No.
No?
No, I was trying
Anywho. Not that that matters. But those are coming attractions, and I took some pictures. I'll probably put them on the... let's go with Instagram. Okay, enough of that. Enough stalling. Let's go ahead and get into the ratings, because this whole podcast is going to be spoilers for this movie. So I guess we'll start with Dan. You had high expectations for this movie.
I did.
From?
Oh, watching the trailers on IMDb.
So you,
out of
okay.
a 10, I give it an 8.
From 0 to 11, do you'll give this movie an 8?
I would. Yeah,
and
I liked it.
Do you consider that it met your expectations then?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
It lived my expectations. I thought it was a neat concept. A lot of cool psychological features to it.
Yeah.
Very true.
I totally agree.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm a little surprised. I think I maybe like this movie a little bit more than you then.
Okay.
What about you, David?
Well... It's hard, in my opinion. I really wasn't giving it rate, you know, watching it to rate it, you know. But now that I go back and look at it, the visual aspect, the acting, the concepts, the sci-fi behind it all, you know, the it was more psychological than anything else, really.
Yeah.
How do you, you know, fit into a certain character of person? Are you an alpha male or, you know,
right.
or, you know, so it had a lot of things involved in it that made it really great. So it gives it a lot of movie depth.
I think,
you know?
Yeah, I think what you're trying to get at is that for the majority of this movie, the things happening provoke thought, like, yeah. 90% of the time.
Right.
Like, oh, that's interesting. I wonder how I would... Oh, wait, I can't think about that because now this is happening.
Right.
And it's like you're literally brought through... I don't know. I thought it was done brilliantly, though.
It was like, well done. I happen to think that the psychological part of it was probably, you know, more in the forefront to me.
Me too.
As I watched it, than anything, than just watching the action and looking at the cool, you know, graphics,
right.
or whatever. It's funny because everyone, I think, would that relates to a movie pitch themselves to one of the characters,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And definitely in my case, I feel that I related a lot to
one of those 10 bucks right
there. To the main character because, you know, I've recently been put into a manager's position, so I've had to deal with managing people, and I've never had to do that before.
Mm.
And this kid was the same way. He's always, you know, managed himself and the games he was given. Right.
Right. He kept to himself. He
he was a loner, and
right.
then, but he figured out ways to get along with people. Right. And I've had to do that, you know, into a sense in the job, right? Which
right.
is his job now, you know, to do. So I related a lot to the main character, not because, you know, oh, well, I'm going to be the hero of the movie.
Right.
Because I usually relate myself to someone else in the movie.
Well, we all three of us have military backgrounds.
Right,
we all have military experience. So especially for us, we all, I would hope, would relate to the main character, which was definitely Ender. I don't think there was a scene in this entire movie without him in it. A lot of times, the storyline of a movie will sway and follow different characters in order to make up the complete story. This kid was the entire story from the beginning.
That's true.
And from the very first scene, there's action, and then you're just, like, put into this seat, a front row seat to the way this kid is feeling, the way he's dealing with everything, and what kind of makes him tick. And I think that is very relatable as far as him being or the way that they tell the story for a while. Harrison Ford and his comrade were kind of narrating to the audience what was going to happen to the main character.
Right.
What they were pretty much manipulating him through most of the movie, kind of memorable of Hunger Games, which was the third trailer.
That's it.
Yep. Hunger Games was kind of reminiscent in this movie, only in that the overseers, let's say, were starting to manipulate the games at some point. And it's funny how we're talking about Hunger Games, because this entire Ender's Game was a game. But before we get into too deep, what would be your number rating?
Wow. I mean, I want to give it, like, I mean, I don't know why I can't, I don't know why it's, I'm being held back from giving it an 11D. I'm not quite sure yet, but I definitely give it a 10. I mean,
interesting.
It was, I can't exactly say why it doesn't meet that mark, but it definitely went way beyond my expectations. I thoroughly enjoyed how deep the movie was in a lot of ways, in social ways, and how people interact with each other, and I think people could learn from this movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I did get him.
If you're smart enough, yay, another dead one. If you're smart enough, you'll walk away trying to be someone better.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% agree, and I'm glad that you said that, because at the very beginning. Yeah, put that window up, bud. At the very beginning of the movie, I was a little bit, I mean, special effects right off the top were great. Up until that first scene where they went into space and the vomit looked so super fake. And the first time Harrison Ford entered the room in weightlessness, that looked super fake as well. And I was like, oh man, I really hope they don't botch this. But that was the only thing that I could find in this entire movie that wouldn't make it an 11D. But that's how I was picking it out. I mean, I watched the movie to rate it, not necessarily tear it apart. If it were terrible, I would tear it apart. But the only thing that's keeping this movie from an 11D were those first two special effects scenes in the weightlessness when they were in the like the training rooms, but when they were going out to their the training, the battle room, I guess you call it, or their do you know what I'm talking about? When they were all in the spaceship strapped down.
Yeah, the first time they went out.
That kid
training.
Puked.
Yeah.
And the puke just looked super fake. I couldn't stand it. It was like, I was like, wow, really? That's okay. But I would say that this movie is the closest to an 11D that I could possibly give it. But only because I don't want to split hairs, I'm just going to go ahead and give it a 10.5. I usually make up some weird decimal point number. But I'm really surprised that Dan, I guess your level of perfect is higher than ours.
Well, I guess I should have specified that I meant, like, in the grand scheme of movies, I give it an 8 out of, you know, that.
Right.
Out of the ones I've seen this year, it's easily a 10.
Right. Yeah, no, you're supposed to do that. Like, out of every movie you've ever seen, how good is this one? So, yeah, 8. Your level of perfect movie, I'd like to be in theater with you when you watch your perfect movie, because if that's not as close to perfect as you can get, I'd like to see what your perfect is.
Alright. I'll give you that some thought.
Yeah, man.
Some midget porn.
Yeah. Dan's gonna have his own podcast where he reviews midget porn and gives it all 11Ds. So I guess that's it. We got a 10, a 10.5, and an 8. Do your own math. That's what we give it. So you're going to hear a super cheap sound effect right here that I'm going to insert in post-production. And that will be your spoiler countdown. So here's that. Insert here. I guess since we're getting into spoilers, I don't know if we're going to go in order of spoilers, because I don't think there is such a thing, but as far as, I don't know what you want to talk about first.
Well, if you want to just get right into spoilers, there's really only one giant spoiler, right? And if you couldn't figure it out halfway through the movie, then, you know.
Okay, so
I actually said that to him about halfway through. I was like, they have some weapon that is so devastatingly powerful that they want to make sure they put it in the hands of the right person.
Right.
He's going to use it to its ultimate effect.
Right. Okay, so for the listener that doesn't care about spoilers and hasn't also seen the movie, let me give you a little bit of a rundown. We basically have a preteen who is pretty much comes from a military family. There's this all-out invasion, as predicted, that basically has the aliens invading Earth for the purposes of harvesting our water. While that's not necessarily an original concept, that's probably the only point in the entire movie where anything unoriginal is even brought up. Everything else in this movie was, like you said, poignant, relevant. Everything was presented in such a way where it's like, oh my god, I've never seen that before. That's cool. Oh wow, that just happened too. Like, but all in the same scene and one right after the other. So you have this kid who's basically the youngest of three. He's basically brought up in a generation of kids that are weaned on war games. Your Battlefield 4s, your Gears of War, your Medal of Honors, your whatever, Tom Clancy games. You get the idea. And basically, what we have is an entire generation of preteens trying to get into the military solely based on how good they are at whatever particular video game they're being given for training. We find Ender, who is basically a child prodigy at strategery, and he dominates absolutely anybody that plays a simulation against him. He's basically a chess genius, but for video games. And so he gets the attention early on of the higher-ups, who promptly make him the chosen one. And as Dan's, as your prediction said while you were talking to me during the movie, stated that they basically have this huge weapon and they haven't found the right person to use it effectively enough against the enemy. So all the simulations that Ender undertakes are basically that. They're training modules to get him ready for the bigger battle. And he quickly climbs the ranks, so much so that, which is the relatable part that you were talking about, David, is like, I recently came from a job before I became self-employed that I rose up the ranks super fast, faster than most people there before me. So much so that I was only there for 2 years, and people that came in right behind me thought that I was part of upper management. Not the case, but I probably could have been. So that part was relatable for me, but not that also happened to me in the military, where I got called out by a drill sergeant as the smartest one in the group, and I quickly was hated by everybody else. And I had to rise through that. Luckily, it never got too physical to where I was physically beat up, but definitely threatened if I didn't keep my smart-ass mouth to myself kind of thing, you know? So in that sense, it was definitely relatable for me. So you have these very cool training missions in these zero-gravity rooms that are basically putting these kids in the mindset to, you know, have a platoon mentality to go in with battle. But then it gets scaled up on a much, much larger scale. He becomes the admiral of his own fleet, correct? Or is that by the very end?
At the very end, he's promoted.
Yeah, he was basically the admiral of the fleet.
The spoiler that you speak of is basically one in which he gets so good at these simulations, they have what's called a graduation battle, and it's just that. You battle, and your last battle is your graduation ceremony, and from there, you're supposed to go on and fight the real aliens in real battle. So he goes into battle, and this entire time in the simulation, he basically goes for broke. There's a theme throughout the entire movie of a quote at the very beginning of the movie, which, by the way, book by... Oh, God, I told myself I was going to remember. I want to say Orson Scott Card. That's it. Orson Scott Card was the guy who wrote the book. He produced the movie. And hats off to whoever wrote the screenplay, because he did a damn good job. So basically, we come to find out he, during the simulation, they do strike a huge blow to the enemy. What ends up happening is that the simulation... Well, I guess I'm skipping ahead a little bit. During the final battle, he does something that no other tactical commander has done and abandons entire fleets in order to protect the main weapon and deliver pretty much a final blow to not just the queens, but the entire planet from whence they came, basically, and obliterates the entire race, which is game over. I think the best way to explain this is that after said game over, that's when he realizes it's no longer a game. But Harrison Ford's character basically, obviously, has lied to him the entire time, and that's where the whole mind game comes in, is that how would you have reacted differently had you known this is no longer a simulation, that this is real? And he said that basically those fleets that he left behind, tens of thousands of people died, or thousands of people died rather, and had he known it was real, he may have protected those ships, but in the long run probably lost the battle, the simulation, versus just completely obliterating an entire species of alien. Throughout his training, he's given an iPad-looking thing, and I really have to mention this part before we go inside and probably finish the rest a little bit later. He plays an iPad game, essentially, that is a psychological evaluator, a remote psychological evaluator from Harrison Ford's comrade, who is basically there to make sure that the soldiers stay intact mentally, while Harrison's Ford character makes sure that they are still tough as balls while she's doing that. During the simulation, he finds a game, yet another game. There are many games in this movie, which I think the movie's title is perfect, because Ender, through the entire movie, is doing nothing but playing games. Whether it's mind games or video games or simulation games, in air quotes, he's always playing. He's always a kid in the sense that he's always playing games, but they're not games that kids should be playing. So that whole moral question is thrown in there as well. Come to find out that the entire time he's been taught to battle, there's one thing that he wasn't taught, and that's how to possibly talk yourself out of possibly the complete worst outcome that could possibly end up, is that you kill an entire species. He was trying to figure out in his child brain, maybe there's a way we can talk to him, maybe we can communicate. Well, during his iPad game, he runs across a virtual version of his younger sister, or his older sister, the middle child, I believe. And through that, towards the very end, is when we find out that they were in fact trying to communicate telepathically with him, which is why the video game projected images that only Ender had, and that weren't actually programmed into the game, which was the first thing that tipped him off, is that that's how they are communicating, is telepathically. And the only reason that those images came through were so that the alien queen could communicate with me what we needed before we went into battle. So on that note, I think we're just going to pause it here and then finish the rest later. Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right. Through the magic of editing and the wonderment that is space and time itself, unfortunately, it's about, I don't know, four or five days after the recorded section you just heard. Unfortunately, the guest that was on is no longer on, as I may have mentioned in the disclaimer that I may or may not have put at the beginning of this podcast. It's the first time ever that this happened. The guest that we started out with on the show aren't here at the end of the show. It's very strange that that happens. Very weird podcast, but I'm kind of going to pick up where the conversation left off that night in the MRS. I was sort of speaking to the major spoiler at the end of the movie, which, by the way, is still very much in my mind days later after watching it, it left an impact on me, definitely. My brother spoke of people walking away with something, a lesson learned from this movie. And if it was anything for me, it was just the level of responsibility that we all should take for our actions, but don't. I also said the only thing keeping this movie from an 11D was the lackluster realism of the puke in Zero Gravity, along with Harrison Ford. Why do I keep saying that? I noticed during the editing process, because I already listened to the first half of the podcast while throwing the last half together. It's sort of a Frankenstein-esque episode. We mentioned I, Frankenstein in the trailers. But Harrison Ford's legs, when he goes into Zero Gravity, it just looks super fake. But I noticed, I said Harrison's Ford and nobody stopped me, and I just did it again, like an idiot. So, the only other thing, besides the lackluster special effects in the Zero, the first time, like they pretty much rocket ship into space, thinking about it some more, we never really got to talk about Ben Kingsley in this movie. When we left off, I didn't really get a chance to ask Dan, on a recording anyway. We did talk about it some more, hanging out before he went back to visit, I believe, the Midwest in Arkansas. Or is it just regular Kansas? I'm not sure. I don't know why I said regular Kansas. That's weird. But he did say that if he could go back, he would give this movie a 9 rather than 8. Only because, like I said, days later, there were still sections of this movie that permeated. Like, we're still thinking about it days later. And I think any time a movie can leave that kind of an impact on you, days, months, weeks out, whatever the case may be, that you walk away with something. And I think that that's important. As for the Ben Kingsley thing, I think this movie was close to perfection up until we find out that Ben Kingsley's character, and I want to look this up real quick because I think his name is worth mentioning. Now, in the legend that is the invasion that starts this whole Ender's Game movie, basically, there's a character, Mazer Rockham, spelled Mazer Rackham. I thought I would remember his name some more, but the reason why I thought it was interesting, because I'm not too sure if the author of the book meant to associate it or made it sound or make it sound like Occam's Razor. For anyone not familiar with Occam's Razor, I believe it's the notion that the simplest solution to any given problem is probably the most correct one. I'm not sure if I said that correctly. And I'm not even sure how it's Occam. O-C-C-A-M. Occam's Razor. But it's pronounced like Rockham. Mazer Rockham. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. But Occam's Razor, I guess, is defined as a principle of parsimony, economy, or succinctness used in logic and problem solving. Here we go. It states that among competing hypotheses, the hypotheses with the fewest assumptions should be selected. So, like I said, in layman's terms, the simplest solution is probably the best one. That concept by itself resonates with Ender's Game immensely, in that a lot of times when something is presented to you in this movie in the form of a, what's the word I'm looking for, strategy, is presented on how to win a specific simulation, or in essence the zero-g gravity room is like a space laser tag, these groups of children figuring out how to get from one chamber to the other without getting everybody in their squad killed, basically. We see Ender come up with this awesome strategy the first time he puts together his dragon team, is what they call it, in practice, and basically beats the person that the kid who was most undefeated kind of played his part quite well, in that he was very annoying. He was like this Puerto Rican kid, Italian kid maybe, who was kind of small in stature but very big in personality, and who just commanded an undefeated team. Nobody asked him otherwise, or confronted him otherwise, I should say. But when we first see Ben Kingsley's character is when Ender is basically given his own fleet, his own squad. And Mazer Rackham, who was believed to the world to be dead upon knowing how to defeat the aliens, kind of Independence Day style, flew his jet into the belly of the, I guess, the Queen spaceship, and that's where all the propaganda and training footage ended. What Ender could never figure out is what happened afterwards. And when he meets Mazer Rackham, which is the weird part, is when he starts figuring out how come we don't see what happened after that. The first time we see Ben Kingsley is when Ender comes into his new quarters, which is half alien, half human, in that the structure itself is kind of built into an alien structure where the original colony had set up shop, had colonized in the initial invasion. We take it over after the invasion, and we're basically pushing, like I was there, their forces basically pushed back the ant-like alien creatures that were invading and harvesting our water. Ender's looking out the window, and he sort of spaces out a little bit, and we see flashbacks between reality and the game, and he's kind of figuring things out as far as communicating with the aliens, but we don't really know that yet. He turns around, and Mazer Rackham is basically Indian-style, like Yoda. Very much a Yoda-like character in this movie. A being of just uber knowledge. And it's kind of presented like he just appears there, as if he were some kind of ghost or spirit. And he interacts with Ender physically, which then, to me, I'm like, well, wait a minute. Out of everything that's happening, this is the most unbelievable of it. This guy just appears in the middle of this kid's living quarters without hearing the door open? Did he just, like, drop from the ceiling? Was he there the whole time waiting for him? I didn't really get that part. And then it's kind of never addressed. It just kind of goes away. And I know that's something silly in my note and stupid for me to take an entire point off. Not an entire point, because it still was very up there. I read on Facebook since from a friend of mine who was on the podcast before. I don't want to call him out, and I'm not calling him out at all. I immensely respect his opinion, but only because I didn't let him know ahead of time that I was going to mention this. But he said that Harrison Ford looked bored throughout the movie, and I felt that that was Ben Kingsley in this movie. Ben Kingsley felt like he was just reading lines. He wasn't really acting anything, and I don't know if that was supposed to be a part of his character or not, but it wasn't inherently clear. As far as the legend went, the thing we didn't see in the propaganda videos was Mazer ejecting moments before his plane destroyed one of the Queen ships. And in one of the best sort of flashbacks I've seen, it was a POV camera, a helmet cam, and it looked as if everything was coming into slow motion, but what was actually happening, the swarms of ships that were flying around the other motherships were just that. There were swarms. There were so many alien fighters flying around that while Mazer was pretty much falling to Earth in his parachute, he was looking around and all of the swarms of ships just sort of froze in midair. It seemed as if time had paused, I think he said in the movie. And I realized at that point that it wasn't necessarily the aliens that killed off the human race by invading. It was the amount of ships, in my opinion, falling from the sky that caused so much damage to the Earth below that millions of people were killed in this invasion. But it wasn't necessarily due to direct attacks from the aliens. It was due to their invasion, in that their presence alone caused this damage. But think about the equal and opposite reaction. They didn't think about what would happen after the mothership was killed. They didn't stop to think about taking responsibility for saving the planet, but through sacrificing millions. And when Ender learns that he has been fooled and he's essentially killed off an entire species of alien, he, at that point, feels how Mazer Rackham must have felt when he thought he was saving the world but instead killed millions. I loved it. There were so many relationships and points to be made socially, economically, politically. Still very relevant in that I believe this book is 25 years plus old, and it's amazing to see how it's still relevant as far as children being brought up more and more. I'm all for violent video games, which I'm about to get into in a moment. I'm transitioning into video games, but it's just very interesting how the thought of that, an entire generation of soldier being trained through war simulations, which really aren't simulations at all. It's kind of very, very, very plausible and frightening when you really think about where it can go. So there's that. That is the full review. I'm sorry for the podcast being all over the place, but I am going to go into video games and then hit on maybe some TV stuff, and then call it a show. So, video games, I've been really looking into making the most out of the current device that I have. For those listening, I used to own an HTC Evo 4G, I just got an HTC One. I haven't yet done a review on it, only because the tech, a lot of people don't really seem to respond to the tech when I do talk about gadgets and stuff like that. But I will tell you this. The gaming capabilities of the Evo 4G were only limited to the SD card size, or if the game had to be native to the hard drive, that was something that I had a problem with. With the HTC One, there's no separation between the SD card and the hard drive, so all the games are native. That would cause a problem on the Evo. If you didn't root it, then you couldn't necessarily force it to allow games to be played on the SD card that are supposed to be native to the hard drive. For the HTC One, you don't have to worry about that. So I've kind of been filling the gap between the Xbox Live, which I have yet to play Assassin's Creed 4, by the way. I should be getting that this month. I'm supposed to be on top of it, but I'm slacking in that department. But like I said, to fill the gap, I have been gaming somewhat on the Nintendo 3DS, but mostly on the phone. And some of these games, I know I'm a little bit late, hence the name of the podcast, to the show concerning video games, mobile gaming, I think, is the proper term. There's this app that I downloaded called Dead Trigger. It's basically a zombie game, first-person shooter. Amazing. Especially, I believe for Android users, it's free. I'm not too sure if they have it on iTunes for a specific amount, but it's free on Android, and if you like zombies and if you like first-person shooters, this game is pretty freaking awesome. The graphics are incredible. If I had to rate it 0 to 11, I would probably say the storyline's pretty good. Difficulty's pretty much up there. I would probably give Dead Trigger 8.5. There's room for improvement, which there's already a Dead Trigger 2 out, which I saw at the Play Store, and I was going to get it, but if you know me, you know that I like to do things in order chronologically. It's just how my brain works. And so I figured since they're only on the sequel, usually takes a couple years for these games to get developed, I should be beating the first one by the time I get to the second one. If there's going to be a third one, I don't know. But hopefully the improvements that I'm speaking of that can be made would have already been made in Dead Trigger 2. So if you're looking for a really cool game to play, check out Dead Trigger. And I'm also a big fan of racing games. My brother turned me on to one called Real Racing 3. There was no 1 or 2 available, so I know this is the third one. And when you're playing racing games, there really is no storyline unless there's like an F-Zero style character-driven storyline involved. With this, not so much, but the cool thing about it is you pair it to your Facebook account, and it's like virtual racing in that you can race against your friends. It's not done live, but they have this particular technology to where it records the times of your friends in the same courses and puts you up against their times in that same course while you play it. So you're not playing at the same time, but in essence, you're kind of playing against each other, just at separate times. I know that kind of sounds weird, but the concept is very cool. The graphics on Real Racing 3 are incredible. The controls are flexible. You can have it assist you in braking and steering, or you can completely shut that off and do it on your own manually, and you brake by tapping the screen. It's actually pretty intuitive. You steer by actually tilting the phone left and right, and your cars and stuff like that are completely upgradable. They're coming up with really interesting ways to make money off of free apps. The games are incredible, high quality. However, sometimes they make you try to spend real money, and if you're not spending real money and you're spending in-game cash, they put these time limits on your upgrades, and that basically determines how long you have to wait to play the game again. While I don't necessarily, if I wanted to play a game like that straight through, that would be a huge hindrance, but it is a mobile game. And to be quite honest with you, when I'm playing those games, I'm usually waiting in line for something or on the shitter. So you're playing these games in 5 to 10 minute bursts. Hopefully you're not in the bathroom for too much longer than that. Otherwise, probably need to give somebody a call for help in that. But if I were to rate Real Racing 3, which I am doing right now, I would give it a 9. Besides the fact that you have to wait to play sometimes. My brother's well into it. He says between certain upgrades on your vehicle, you could be waiting anywhere between 45 minutes to an hour, which I think is kind of crazy, unless you pay in-game gold, which they do give you a pretty good amount of at the beginning. But if you spend it a lot, towards the end of the game, you're paying real money to buy said gold, and the gold is the only way you can skip through the waiting times. So, like I said, while very creative in earning your dollars, majority of the people that are gonna save a ton of money are gonna just play this game when it allows you in between upgrades. But the good thing about it is that you can still play with your vehicle that you're getting upgraded. It just won't have the specs that you need before the upgrade hits, obviously. So there's that. I'm also playing another kind of timed app game. Is Simpsons Tapped Out. If you're a big fan of The Simpsons, this is a pretty fun game. It's like SimCity with The Simpsons characters. There's a story where Homer blows up Springfield while not doing his job very well at the power plant, and you're tasked with rebuilding Springfield however you wish. And while you build buildings, which, again, force you to wait anywhere between... At the very beginning, it's pretty fast building your buildings, but once you start building up your characters, which are only given to you after the buildings are finished, you start gaining more characters, and it's basically a collection. And for Halloween, they had like a Halloween theme with ghosts, but now everything's back to normal. Springfield's nice and un-Halloweened, and I've only been playing the game on and off for probably about a month and a half. But collectively, I've only been playing for maybe, I don't know, 20 hours or so. I have a pretty good build-up of characters collected, some interesting ones that I've won. And again, if you want to speed up the time in between getting characters, then you have to buy donuts with real money. And it's just one of those marketing ideas. I'm sure it's working well for them. I haven't physically spent any real money on any of these apps. But I'm sure there are a number of people, especially with technology, tying your Google Wallet into your Android phone or your PayPal in with your iTunes account, however the case may be. It's really interesting how they're coming up with legitimate ways to take your money. Kudos to them, but I'm just a casual mobile gamer. I don't know if I'll ever spend real money on video games besides actually purchasing them for console gaming. But if I had to rate... I don't know why I keep saying that. I am rating The Simpsons Tapped Out. If you're a Simpsons lover, I give this game a 9.5. Again, because of the whole attempt to make me wait 24 hours before playing again. I kind of don't get that. But then again, like I said, I'm not going to mobile game for 8 hours straight trying to beat The Simpsons Sim. They should have called it The Simpsons. That's why this podcast is for you people. Okay, switching gears from, I guess that's video games. Other than the console gaming, Xbox Live is kind of in transition right now. Basically coming out of a vacation from my / birthday. And right now, financially, it just doesn't make enough sense for me to pay access to game online. And I know that online gaming is only a facet of Assassin's Creed 4, but to get the entire experience and to give it the rating that it deserves, I definitely need to play it multiplayer online. But I am all for the exploration of the single player mode. So I do want to get that. Just Xbox Live is hindering me from doing a lot of the things online that I want to do. Not having a gold account, I should say. Not the service itself. I will be getting into that shortly. There are some games I really need to get back into, Mass Effect 3 being one of them, so keep listening for that. I think this will about do it. I wanted to get into some TV stuff. Let me just say that if there's any listeners out there that want to Skype in and talk about the upcoming Continuum episode, I have yet to watch the last episode of Season 2. For good reason, I cannot, for the life of me, find more than one or two people that have watched this show and that actually have listened to the podcast that want to be on this show to talk about Continuum. So hit me up, fans.aweeklate@gmail.com, if you want, or through the Facebook page, message us through there, like and message us, facebook.com/aweeklatepodcast. I think the past couple episodes I wasn't doing the whole podcast part at the end, but it is /aweeklatepodcast @aweeklate on Twitter. Any one of those, hit us up. As far as the pictures that I mentioned in this episode for the Thor promos that we saw at the theater, which were pretty cool, I should be uploading those to the Fen Entertainment Instagram. Don't have one for A Week Late because it's just too much right now. So everything is kind of in a crock pot over at the Instagram. It's Fen Promos, FENPROMOS. And you can check out pictures that I don't post on the Twitter. On our Facebook, it's /FENEntertainment, 489entertainment.com, or FENEntertainment.com. Either way, gets you to the same place. That's for all our music stuff. We have a lot of that going on. You can get free music, download all of Aaron Bond stuff. You can download DJ Drager's mix right now. Thanks to him for that. And shout out to, I want to say, Dissident on Twitter for, is it Dissident? What am I looking at here? Oh, and Julian Jordan's fan club in Indonesia for hitting us up on Twitter. Sinistar, not Dissident, sorry, but I do know Dissident. Sinistar is having a show in Orlando Monday night that will be tomorrow for people that are downloading this on the day it comes out, which is Sunday the 10th. Can't go up to Orlando for the show, Sinistar, but I just came from there and I had a blast. I will be going to the Dolphins-Bucks game Monday night. Go Dolphins. And that is it for this episode. I think the hodgepodge is over. I know I'm going to think of something after I hit stop. Oh, I'm not done yet, though. Because I said I was going to do TV. So, well, I kind of did the whole Continuum thing, and I went into the Fen Entertainment music without really finishing the TV portion, get it together. And I think, I know that Once Upon a Time has started back up, and it also has spawned a spinoff, Once Upon a Time in Neverland. I don't know, it's kind of becoming a little bit too much. There's already so many shows that I'm keeping up with. I may not watch the new Once Upon a Time, but since I've invested so much time in the first two seasons of the regular Once Upon a Time, I think I'm going to just keep watching those, maybe put that other show on a back burner for later. The other TV stuff I've been getting into, I spoke briefly with Aaron Bond about Arrow. If you're not watching Arrow, go watch Arrow. I will be catching up on the final season of Dexter and doing a show on that soon. And also The Walking Dead's are way overdue. We missed it this year for the special Halloween episodes for seasons 2 and newer. Especially since Walking Dead, I believe, is in its third season, almost halfway done with that, I believe. So I do have to catch up on those as well. What else? Scrim is back. I've been watching that. It's pretty good, people. All of these things that I'm mentioning. It's Always Sunny, Season 9. I have to get back into that. We'll be talking about that some more. There you go. Now I'm done. Thanks for listening, old listeners and new listeners alike. Go to aweeklate.com. SoundCloud.com/aweeklate to get all of this stuff for free. You can donate on the page. It costs me about $50 a month to do this, people. It's not free for me, but it's free for you. and I don't want to guilt trip into it, you into it, but there is a donate button on aweeklate.com and also 489entertainment.com. Donations all go to the same place. You can even write those off on your taxes if you are a citizen of the United States and are listening to this. You pay taxes. Hopefully you pay taxes. That's it. I don't know why I'm talking about taxes. Just push the button and send me some money and write it off. That's it. I will see you a week ago. Cheers. That's getting edited out.